behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, and welcome to Car Stuff. I'm Scott.
I'm Ben. As always, we are joined with our super producer, Noel, the, Let's wait on this. Let's keep this nickname a secret. Wouldn't that be appropriate?
Oh, maybe it would be appropriate. You're right, because there's nothing but secrecy veiling what we're talking about today. And that's even, it's current, because we're recording this in the early part of 2016. Mm-hmm. News came out just this week as we're recording this about this vehicle. Mm-hmm. And even so, with this public reveal, there's still a lot that we don't know about this company, this vehicle, what's mm-hmm. to come. It's shrouded in secrecy.
Is it vaporware? Is it right now? It's a concept car and a lot of intrigue and interest. Ladies and gentlemen, today we are talking about the Faraday FF01.
Yeah. And you know, this is the thing. We'll preface this whole podcast by saying right now, there's just not a lot of details out there still. And this is after a big press conference reveal at, the 2016 CES, the Consumer Electronics Show?
Yeah.
Out in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. Appropriately enough, as we'll find out, that's where they're building some giant factory, maybe.
Right. Possibly.
Yeah, possibly. And,
reportedly.
Okay, I feel like I really need to say this up front, and we'll get into the topic in just a moment here.
Sure.
But anytime we bring something like this up, anything close to this, mm-hmm. someone always says, do your research. You've got to remember the history. You got to remember history, the way things play out. And sure, I get that. Mm-hmm. There are certain companies that come along that have a little bit more promise to them. And I think that Elio felt to me like one that had a little bit more promise. Tucker had a lot of promise, but I think we both have the same opinion on what happened to Tucker.
Right. Yeah.
Dale was a complete scam out and out.
Absolutely.
There have been others throughout history. There's some that, you know, along the way that we just haven't really talked about much. There's so many of these vaporware type cars. There's Carbon Motors mm-hmm. with their police vehicles.
Yeah.
There's Detroit Electric with their Tesla-like electric car that we've seen that's near production, but has been near production for many years now.
And there are other things that actually occur, but fizzle in the pan, like Fisker.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. So Fisker's out there. We've seen them at car shows.
Yeah, we've seen Fiskers, but
very low production numbers.
Right.
And also there's a lot of, there's a lot of behind the scenes litigation going on with Fisker right now, too. I think I've heard a recent lawsuit that's happening, something about a copyright infringement maybe, or something similar along that line. I'm not sure. I'm going to have to look that up. I saw it along the way here while I was digging into info about this vehicle, because there's a lot of controversy around it. We don't know a whole lot about mm-hmm. it. We know a few specs, but then again, the car that they showed was just not a shell, but it's a prototype.
It's not on a powered platform.
No. Okay. And I promise we'll get to it, but I want one other quick thing we need to make sure that people understand is the car that they revealed in January that Faraday Future revealed at the CES in 2016 mm-hmm. is not what they intend to be their production vehicle.
Right. No one has seen their production vehicle yet.
Yeah. This is like the ultimate extreme version of what they say they're capable of doing. Eventually. Right. And that's the whole thing. They say they can do this. They make promises. Trust us is something that they say a lot. and we always have a lot of skepticism, when we hear that. So that's the thing. Like throughout this whole thing, if it sounds like we're trying to sell the idea that, yeah, it's going to happen or it's not going to happen.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I'm not going to say either way on this one. I'm going to stay on the fence because I like the point of, or the position of, being hopeful, but remaining skeptical about it.
So let's talk, before we get into the concept car itself, let's talk a little bit about Faraday Future.
Sure.
Which is a great name. They're aiming to be Tesla killers, as they have said before.
Smart choice for the name.
Yeah. Faraday Future. Yeah.
Sure.
That's great.
Yeah. With Michael Faraday, right?
Yeah. That's appropriate.
Well, yeah, it is in a way. I mean, if you look up who Michael Faraday is, mm-hmm. He was born in 1791, died around 1867. So this is a long, long time ago, but he was known for advancements in the field of electromagnetism and electrochemistry. And some of the stuff, I guess it's a clever way to name the company, just as Tesla was a clever way to name the Tesla Motor Corporation.
Right. Fans of, science fiction will probably realize the Faraday cage is used so often in so many stories.
I've been in a Faraday cage before as a, like, I raised my hand to be a volunteer at a, I think it was the Cranbrook Institute of Technology or what, Cranbrook Institute, wherever they had a science, presentation.
Yeah.
A kid was really small. I raised my hand in the crowd. You know, I just volunteered to go in the cage. I knew it was going to happen. I've seen it done before.
Mm-hmm.
But I raised my hand. The kid, you know, my kid next to me, she's flipped out when she sees what happens. Like, I'm getting harmed in there because you sit in this metal mesh cage and they shoot lightning at you, really. I mean, that's what it looks like. It's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And it's loud and it's impressive looking, but you're unharmed inside. And the idea behind the Faraday cage, it's insulating something from or isolating something from RFI, which is radio frequency interference. So it's, mm-hmm. It's like an insulator of sorts.
And in 1831, he discovered electromagnetic induction. That is the principle behind the electric transformer and generator.
Yeah. So it makes sense. This all plays into electric motors. And electric motors are, of course, what power the Faraday FF01 concept.
Right. Yes. And this company is, I don't want to say sketchy. I will say new, and it has foreign funding from a very wealthy investor.
Okay. And the investor. Now, do you want to talk about the investor? Because this is critical for this whole thing. Yeah, the money required to set something like this up is just it's a mountain of money, really. I mean, we talked about Elio and what they still require in order just to get their first production model out there. They still need, like, what was it, $250,000 or $250 million? I'm sorry, $250 million. This company is funded apparently by a billionaire who is not going to throw everything he's got behind it, but there's a roundabout way that they traced who the founder of this is as well, or who the people maybe contributing to it would be. They say that the billionaire behind Faraday Future, or is he? We're not really sure. And they call him the Steve Jobs of China, by the way.
Right. Yeah. He started what could be called the Chinese version of Netflix, Li TV.
Yeah, exactly. Li TV. So that's right. And they say that they're not revealing the exact ownership of Faraday.
Yet. Right.
So that's part of the secrecy. Who owns Faraday?
Yeah. The billionaire in question, Ziyu Teng, which I'm probably mispronouncing, he is in a strategic partnership. He does not necessarily own Faraday Future.
So he's an investor. And how do we know he's an investor? There's kind of this roundabout way that they did this. So, all right. The idea is that they were around for about, well, like, I guess more than a year before they had this recent, press release at the CES 2016, as we mentioned. Mm-hmm. And it was the company itself was originally incorporated in California back in May of 2014 as Li TV ENV Inc. So that's the trace that they can look at there. And according to papers that are filed with the California Secretary of State, the address is in Beijing, and that's associated with Li TV, which is a holding company founded by this tech pioneer. I don't know, again, every single thing about this company is shrouded in secrecy to this point, even after the press conference. They were pretty elusive about some of the questions that have been asked of them by the press immediately afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually surprised that they even took questions from the press afterwards, based on some of the answers that I read
in
these interviews.
Yes. We also know that this strategic partnership is probably part of something bigger on Li TV's part, or I should say Li Shi, the parent company.
Okay.
Right? The idea here is that this guy often talks about how his company has already surpassed Apple in numerous areas, right?
That's a pretty bold statement.
It's true. It's a bold statement. I don't know if it's true that they have surpassed Apple and stuff like design, because that's sort of an aesthetic thing.
Yeah, sure. You know?
But his company is involved in film production, smart TVs, video streaming, mobile phones, bicycles, more and more stuff. Unlike Netflix here in the US, this company is involved in multiple things.
Sure. Yeah. So, and they've got a lot of people at the top right now, mm-hmm. That they can count on, that they know that have some significant experience in the automotive world, right?
Yes. So in July of 2015.
That's really when we started hearing about them, right?
That's when we first learned of Faraday Future, we being the public. And when we learned about it, we also learned that they were headhunters.
Yeah, well, we heard, okay, there's this startup company that's out there that they don't have a factory yet. They've got an office space in California. And at this California office, they are kind of headhunting. They use the term poaching, but I don't really see anything wrong with what they're doing here. They're gathering the best of the field in order to create a new company. So, they've got people like Nick Sampson, who is the Senior Vice President of R&D Engineering, and he's the former Director of Vehicle and Chassis Engineering from Tesla Motors. They've got, and it's not the only Tesla Motors, top person at this company. They have Dag Reckhorn, who was also at Tesla Motors. He's the former Director of Manufacturing at Tesla Motors, as a matter of fact. Alan Cherry, who was the former senior director of the human resources department at Tesla Motors. So they're gathering everybody, even HR. Another guy from Tesla Motors was, Tom Wessner. He was the former director of purchasing there. And then, oh, this is kind of interesting. Richard Kim. Now, Richard Kim is the guy that they, had out on stage at the CES, press conference or reveal or whatever you want to call it. He was the designer, I believe, of the FF01 concept vehicle, and he's also a founding member. He comes from BMW. He's a founding member of BMW iDesign and the lead designer on the i3 and the i8 concept vehicles back when BMW came out with those. So this guy knows his stuff. I mean, all these people really know their stuff, and there's more to it than this. They've got 400. Well, they have more than 400 back in July. As of January, we've heard that they've upped that number to somewhere around 500 people. And I think
in the U.S.
Yeah, in the U.S. And they're going to double that, I believe, when the factory comes around.
And Lee TV, let's keep in mind, has 700 employees in its auto division.
That's pretty big. Now, okay, you know what? I have one other quick thing here. And I might have to dig through my notes just a minute here as we talk about this. But they said something, and I'll find it somewhere along the way as we talk here. But they said they don't see themselves as an auto company. And I find that funny because here they're at CES revealing a car that everybody's kind of either crazy about or skeptical of or is, says it's ridiculous or whatever the emotions were around it. But they say they're not building it so much as a car because they are coming out with a production car soon, they say.
Yeah.
More as like a tool, like a way to keep you connected when you're on the go between places where you're connected. So not so much. Not so much car, more of like a gadget.
Yeah, more of a computer that happens to roll around.
Yeah, and you're always in, so you would always be connected at home. It'd be like a seamless transition is what they want between, when you're at home or out, doing whatever you do around the city or whatever, and then in transit, and then when you get to the office or if you get to the airport or wherever you get, you're driving to, this is like a gadget, like a tool that you can use.
So let's recap before we dive into the concept car. So we've got a fairly mysterious company, certainly with mysterious ownership.
Sure.
One publicly acknowledged billionaire investor. It's 8 months old as we record this, right? Around 8 months old.
Yeah, that's a good guess. Probably older, but we didn't hear about it until July.
Great point. And, they released a concept car and are garnering acclaim for a car that no one has seen.
Yeah, that's right. Now, should we talk about the car yet, or do you want to talk about the factory that they're going to build yet?
Oh, yeah, that's right. They're building a factory.
Well, tell you what, let's talk about the car first.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's some tentative specs out there, maybe. Some speculations on the specs.
Are we talking the concept car or the production?
Concept vehicle, because we don't know anything at all about production. Good. We don't even know the shape of the production vehicle.
We just know that it probably won't look like the concept vehicle, which is a crying shame, my friend, because that vehicle is awesome.
Yeah, it really is. It looks like a sports car that races at Le Mans. I mean, it's like one of those prototype vehicles that race. It's incredible looking. It really is. Some people call it ridiculous, though, because they know it'll never see production. Or never going to be a road car, really. But I think it's interesting. I really like the looks of it.
They've also been accused of creating an unbuildable car.
Yeah.
which, they object to. They say that it's perfectly feasible to build, and it would work if it was just on a powered platform.
Oh, sure.
So right now, this is at CES. This is not a car you could hop into heist style and drive away.
Yeah. But the platform. Okay. We'll come back to the platform because that's key to this whole story. Mm-hmm. So what they revealed, or what they unveiled, I guess, was a high-performance concept vehicle, and has, and I'll say, a claimed 1,000 horsepower. So they're saying, you know, each of the wheels, each has a motor.
So four motors.
Yeah. Four motors, yeah. So it's all-wheel drive. 1,000 horsepower, and then they claim that the 0 to 60 time would be under 3 seconds, but this is all theoretical.
Right. They also claim a top speed over 200 miles per hour.
Okay. So all this stuff can kind of be, run through, you know, computers and through maybe through a wind tunnel.
Sure.
And determine exactly like, well, okay, this thing theoretically could reach this speed and with this weight and with this shape and et cetera. So I understand how they get that. I really do. I get it.
It looks so cool though, Scott.
It does look really cool. I gotta say,
a glass roof.
It does have a glass roof. The front end, when I saw the front end with, it's kind of got like these pass through cooling areas, for the motors. And to me, that looks like, if you look up an older concept vehicle called the Ferrari F80 concept vehicle.
Ooh, good call.
The front view looks a lot like that. The back view, sort of similar, but this one maybe even has an edge on that one, I think. It's really cool. Other things that it has a glass roof, which opens like a canopy, like a jet fighter.
Yeah.
Has a white carbon fiber interior, which I've never seen before. It's really interesting looking. And then a couple of other little things that, I don't know, I'm questionable about.
Like
questioning
the smartphone and the steering wheel?
Yeah, that's, that's one. Yeah. But I mean, I can understand that for maybe a street car, but I'm not so sure about why a race car needs that.
Especially because it does live. Maybe it's partly it's because the smartphone connects to do live analysis,
well,
right?
Possibly. I mean, we've all seen the F1 steering wheels that are overly complex. I mean,
for sure.
Incredibly complex. This is not that level of complexity, but, I guess it could be close with whatever a smartphone could do. I mean, I can't imagine having to scroll through screens. While you're there, it seems better to me, like the F1 style, to have a specific button for each feature rather than having to find it. You know, it's on the third screen as you swipe to the left.
Right.
It seems really difficult to do that while you're racing. So, there's that. There's also a halo system that supports the driver's head and neck. So clearly a race car. And a helmet, as I wanted to mention earlier, that had, it provides the driver with water and oxygen. It can be pumped into the helmet, which I think is kind of a neat idea.
Now, can you put other liquids in there? Not booze, of course, but like, you know, juice or a soda.
Oh, sure. You get a hankering for a high C punch or something, maybe?
Yeah.
A Hawaiian punch.
Some Capri Sun.
You want a Hawaiian punch, Ben? Remember that old gag? A Hertz donut, a Hawaiian punch, all those?
Oh, I remember Hertz donut.
Like a slug bug thing, kind of.
I don't know how I made it through childhood without the Hawaiian punch.
All right. So, okay, the thing is that realistically, this won't be the production vehicle. Obviously, it won't. And they're even saying it won't be. This is like the, as I've said before, it's like the ultimate top-end version of what they could do. But the idea behind this whole thing is that it's a platform for them to build on, and it's very modular.
Yeah, it's called the variable platform architecture.
Yes.
According to a statement by one of the senior VPs at Faraday, a guy named Nick Sampson, the platform is done on a modular, flexible basis such that we can change the size of the platform. Mm-hmm. He's got a quote here, I'll go on. We can change the number and power of the drive systems. We can change the physical size and electrical size of the battery packs so we can get bigger and larger packs and smaller packs, both on the electrical size and physical side, because of the modularity of how the battery architecture is being done, which is unique compared to anybody else in the industry. And that goes, I'll say it again. The underlying story is all about the platform that's being built, and that goes directly to what you were saying earlier, when they don't consider themselves necessarily a car company.
Yeah, sure. They're going to be doing things in a different way. And it may not sound different when you hear that, because we've heard of platform engineering. We've been going way, way back, where you take the same chassis and engine and you put a different body on it and use a lot of components that are similar in vehicles so that you can produce many different models on the same production line.
Right.
That's totally possible. And it's happened for a long, long time in automotive history. Long time. Decades and decades.
But yeah. You got it?
No, go ahead. You can go ahead.
I'm just going to say, but their flexibility doesn't stop there, because you write about their business model, which is just bananas.
Well, true. I mean, can I stay on this for just a moment, if that's all right? Because I wanted to emphasize how different this is from other car manufacturers, because you may think that it sounds a lot like,
who doesn't?
Yeah.
Platform.
Yeah, sure. Like, okay, here's a good example. Maybe maybe we can all relate to this one, the Chevy Volt and the Cadillac ELR. That's a modular type design, I guess, in a way. You know, we've talked about how they take the Chevy Volt underpinnings and put a Cadillac body and accessories and trim and all that on top of it and charge, what was it, like $45,000 more, $75,000 more, something like that. It was right. Huge. This is not that type of badge engineering, or I don't even know if that's really a good badge engineering example. It's different than that. There's more to the ELR than there is to the Volt, of course. But
sure.
Probably the wrong term to use there. But what this is doing, they're completely redesigning the way that battery, or they say, I should say, they say they're redesigning the way mm-hmm. that batteries will be looked at. So instead of having, you know, one large battery pack that they have to deal with getting in and out, you know, remember all the time we talk about how hard it is to change those battery packs. And that's what Tesla's kind of working on, these quick change things. But those right. batteries are like 1,100 pounds or 1,000 pounds.
Yeah, they're very weighty.
This is what they call strings of batteries that are put together. And you can add or subtract battery strings to modify the potential weight, the efficiency, the range, you know, all that stuff on a single, you know, everything that, yeah. that surrounds the anxiety behind a single charge, how far you can go.
Right.
Can be adjusted.
And additionally, you can also move the motor. The placement of the motor can change.
Motor or motors, because you can do 1 to 4 motors. Mm-hmm. Depends on what you need. You know, you
front
want
front wheel, rear wheel,
yeah,
all wheel,
single wheel. If you wanted to, I don't know why you'd do that, but
I don't
maybe.
Know.
I don't know. There's so many different things about this that does seem like it's a smart move. But then again, like it's all right now. It's all just.
A no, great idea.
Well, that's exactly right. Yeah.
Right now it's all just great. Well, okay. I want to talk about this business model, because if we're talking about the big dream, Scott, let us not stop at 8.5 yards. Let's go the whole 9. Not only are these going to be, according to the company's party line, not only are these going to be incredibly adaptable modular cars, but they're also going to change the way you buy them because their business model will not be, you know, the old.
It's not traditional.
Yeah, the more traditional model wherein you or Noel or I or you listeners would go to a dealership, buy a car, probably get a payment plan, and then over a series of months pay off that car. What they're doing instead is they want users to subscribe to a plan.
Oh, so this is even different than Tesla. I was thinking you were setting me up for you go to the mall and buy one.
Oh, no. Yeah, they would maybe in the future, but you subscribe to a plan that gives access to autonomous vehicles of differing types.
Hmm.
So one day a subscriber could get a cargo vehicle and the next day a sedan.
So they're incorporating car sharing into this idea as well.
Right.
Okay. All right. But I'm sure, you know, there's got to be, there has to be a way to own one of these two. I would think that along the way, they're going to make that part of it as well. It doesn't sound like a smart idea to say this is all we're doing is just you're going to subscribe and that's it.
Yeah. I mean,
but then again, we haven't heard any details to say otherwise yet. So what you're reading is really all we know at this point is that, yeah, it will be a car sharing platform. Mm-hmm. And you can kind of order up the specific vehicle you need for that day to arrive at your door, right? You can have it, if you need a truck, a pickup truck for the weekend to move,
mm-hmm.
there it is.
Again, great idea.
Well, yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Idea. I mean, I don't know if it's a great process or if it will actually happen.
Yeah, we always qualify this with, you know, for the right individual in the right circumstance, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, you can go back to our previous podcast about car sharing and all that, and you know, and other programs similar to this, and you'll understand where we come from on this.
I like to own stuff.
Yeah, I do too.
If I pay for something, I want to own it.
I do too, and you know, I mean, it's tough to say like you're gonna subscribe to a car service and then something relatively untested like this,
mm-hmm.
and then trust that it's going to happen. I mean, but there have to be people that do this. So, you know, the pioneers, I guess.
Sure, somebody's got to be first.
The ones that really believe.
True believers, yeah. As Stanley would say. Now, with that in mind, with those stats on the FF0 and we've talked about these specs, and Scott, you are right. It is all not specification, but speculation.
Ah, very good. I like the way you did that. Yeah.
Because we've seen virtual tests and stuff. Now, Faraday teases that this concept may go into some sort of limited production, but they're aiming for, what is it, 2017 to have their production car?
Yeah, the production car. Now, they claim also that they are testing right now out on the roads. They've got a vehicle that is out among us somewhere testing, and that, you know, eventually we'll see this car. I don't know when they plan to reveal that vehicle or what the shape will be or, you know, anything like that. I mean, there's a hint of it in one of the teaser videos, and it almost looks like a crossover SUV-type vehicle. Something like that. The outline at least look like that. But we know that stuff dramatically changes as production, approaches, or speculated production approaches, because
that's the big news.
Well, yeah, that is the big news with the factory, right?
Yes, sir. In Nevada. And you know, that factory was almost built here in Georgia.
Oh, yeah. I heard that. There were a couple of states, right? California.
Uh-huh.
Nevada.
Louisiana.
Georgia.
Uh-huh.
Louisiana. Okay. There you go again with the, were they going to take over Eliospace?
I wonder. Why not? Yeah. Who's going to get that?
Yeah. I don't know.
So they broke ground recently on a factory in Nevada.
$1 billion factory. This is a big, big factory.
$1 billion.
Yeah. Yeah, with your pinky in your mouth.
Right,
you did that one, yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'd love to see this happen. And do you think they're going to – what do you think? I mean, we're about a month away from when they say they're going to break ground and actually start building this factory. But they've received something like – well, some state incentives, like $335 million in state incentives from Nevada to build what it says will be a $1 billion manufacturing plant, and this is north of Las Vegas, just north of Las Vegas.
Right. They're going to hire 4,500 people.
That's a lot of people.
Or they're bringing those jobs to the state.
Well, this is a lot of big talk, don't you think? I mean, is it going to happen? That's the thing. Like, they can promise this. And here's what typically happens in this case. In about 2 weeks, we're going to hear that there's a delay in the groundbreaking, you know, or something. there's problems with the paperwork.
Sure.
So they're going to work that out, and it's going to be midsummer before they do anything. And then it just kind of slowly falls off the radar. I wonder if that's going to happen with this or not. I mean, I can smell this coming, sort of like, you know, the Elio thing happened, you know, like it just gets put off and put off and put off. And they bring out a concept vehicle, you know, a proof of production, I guess, you know, a driver that they can drive around and say like, yeah, we're going to build this vehicle, but will it ever happen? Are we ever going to get over that last pump to make it to production?
Right. Is it like the old Alice in Wonderland thing? Jam yesterday, jam tomorrow, but never jam today.
You know? It may be. It may be.
I have to do a quick correction, though. I misspoke. I think I misspoke, and I said 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
It's 8 months old. That's not true. It's 18 months old.
Oh, 18.
I had a slip of the tongue, so I wanted to catch that before we get to
now. Okay, 18. So just so I'm clear on this, I thought 8 months, that was from last July. Because that's when we first really heard about them, when they started to appear in the news, and when they were cherry picking from other companies, you know, like Tesla and BMW. And there's a couple other that I want to mention here. They've got other employees that come from, you know, Ford and Fiat Chrysler. And, I think Motor Trend even said that, they're taking people that, that worked on interiors of Lamborghini and Ferrari and Land Rover. So, they've got a lot of talent in that top end of their executive, group there. But yeah, I guess we haven't really heard about them for very long. I mean, last summer was really last when we heard about them, but they incorporated before that, like you said, 18 months ago.
You want to know something weird too?
What's that?
That factory that they're going to build is going to be in the same industrial park as the test track for the Hyperloop.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Isn't Tesla building, or have they built a giant battery factory there in Nevada as well? So Nevada's really drawn in some good business with these tax incentives, I think.
For sure.
Yeah, I wish all this had happened here in Georgia, of course, for very selfish reasons, because maybe
we could visit the factory.
Yeah, we could go see what's really going on there. We could kind of keep track of what's happening. That would be pretty interesting.
Such tight wrap, though.
I found that quote that I was talking about before. Now this is, it's not necessarily a quote, it's just more of the idea, and it'll let you understand where they're coming from. It says, Faraday hopes to distinguish itself by branding the car less as transportation than as a tool for the connected class. So what do you think about that? I mean,
a tool for the connected class.
That's what they said. Yeah, it says people's lives are changed by the... Oh, this is a Faraday spokesperson, by the way, a spokeswoman. Her name is Stacy Morris, and she says people's lives are changed by their mobile devices. The way we interact. The car industry hasn't caught up sufficiently. The car still feels like a place where you're disconnected. So the idea is that, and I think another one, maybe Kim, who had done the reveal,
yeah,
said something like, you know, you get in your Range Rover, and you know, sure, it's a great machine. It's the $100,000 truck, you know, an SUV,
right?
But you get in and you use your phone for navigating and, you know, things like that, and you're fumbling with it all the time. You don't even have a place to set it down, really, that's comfortable. That's part of why they make things like a design where they can actually fit it into the steering wheel. So it's not necessarily so you can text while you're driving or uh-huh. or make phone calls. It's for stuff that a lot of us really do use it for practical reasons that are non-distracting. You know, some way to get around town, like using your Waze app or whatever yeah. on the go. It's just a smart place to put it.
And you know, I agree that that is a smart place in the steering wheel because we see a lot more console design realizing that it needs to be less distracting, more in front of the driver, more intuitive, more immediate. This FF-Zero was a passion project of Kim's.
Yeah, sure. And we see that. Yeah, I did. Yeah. And you know, we also see, we understand that, you know, what are the Apple systems and Android systems that are in cars too? They're hoping that, this will be an alternative to that. You know, they're going to have their own way of doing things. They haven't said, you know, if they're going to partner with either of those by any means, but they look at it again as like a gadget. The vehicle is more of a gadget than a car. So it's just an interesting take on this whole thing. And I mean, it's really confusing at this point. So maybe we'll get some more answers soon. Right. But right now, this is just kind of like putting it out there, letting you guys know about it and, you know, seeing what you think about it too. I would love to get some opinions on what you think because I gotta say, I mean, I really do just, my spidey senses are tingling, Ben. I feel like this is more of a, like an Elio thing. It's gonna get close, but is it ever gonna make it to production?
You know, I gotta say, I've already heard a conspiracy theory or two about this company, one being that it was a shell company of Apple's as they were using, because, you know, Apple has so much money right now that they were using it as a disguise to start entering into Tesla's market, right? Mm. So there's a lot of stuff happening here. I will say that they are further along than a lot of other companies. But they're not out of the woods yet. They're not out of the garage yet.
Yeah, good, good. Are they, I mean, I wonder if they're really going to be true competition for Tesla because this luxury electric car market, which is what it'll probably be. I mean, it'll be a luxury electric car.
Yeah.
So is it really truly going to compete with Tesla in this luxury electric car market? Do you think it's going to, you know, what's the old term? Cut the mustard? Is that right? Do you think it's going to make it?
I feel like I am Mulder in the X-Files. You know what I mean?
No.
I want to believe.
I'm oh, okay. Got it. Okay. I know the phrase. Not really.
You didn't watch the X-Files?
No, I was in it strictly for the Simpsons on the Tracy Ullman show after that. Or before
man.
I don't remember which
so
one.
You just
it was.
Saw like the last 5 minutes of yeah. X-Files episodes?
Yeah, just waiting for those little tiny bits of Simpsons in between the Tracy Ullman show that we got. Yeah.
Oh man, that's a deep cut. You know, this has nothing to do with anything, but I felt so old when I looked at even just season one of The Simpsons
yeah.
and the Tracy Ullman stuff.
Sure.
Changed radically.
Oh, incredible change, but it's way off track. So
it's way off track. Let's get back on track.
So
you want to
believe and I agree. I kind of feel that way too. I want to believe too, but it's just, you've got to be so skeptical. At this point with what we've seen even in our own lifetime happen.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, Scott. This is, and listeners, you, probably are having some of the same thoughts. If you've read some of the market speculation about autos, one thing that manufacturers have on their minds, at the forefront of their minds right now, is that it appears that younger people, the marketing term is millennials, I believe, are not as much of a car culture.
Yeah.
And want to have a car or transportation as convenience, not necessarily as an object to be maintained, to own. They want a service.
And please in no way misconstrue that to think that we're saying that the car culture is dead or anything like that.
Oh no, not at all.
We had a full podcast about that
we
recently.
Sure did.
We definitely said that's not the case. But yeah, they do see it as more of a tool. Or a gadget. And I can kind of understand why when you get into a brand new vehicle. I mean, there's a lot of electronic goodies there.
Oh yeah, man. I feel like I'm some guy who fell through a time warp from the 1500s or something when I hop in. When I hop
in the 1500s.
In a car after 2014, it feels like the future, man. Because, you know, it already, these cars already know too much about you when you sit down.
Oh, sure.
Oh, by the way, the FF0 supposedly reads biometric data from the, driver.
Yeah. You know what though? Okay. That's not anything brand new for race cars.
That's true.
They always are monitoring, race car driver performance, I guess body performance.
But can you imagine that in a production car?
Well, that'd be a little weird. I mean,
I don't like it.
Where would the probes go? That's my main question. I mean, I'm hoping that it's more like sensors on the steering wheel or something, but,
heart rate, temperature, stuff like that.
You just never know.
You never know. But also I think it's a violation of privacy because if it is a car that is connected to the cloud and it measures it will know where you are at all times for your GPS, mm-hmm. right? And it will also know your state of mind, possibly things about your health that you might not know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we see the stuff where they're reading facial expressions to judge your mood and whether or not you're sleepy. If you got a good night's rest the night before, they really do have things out there. They're not completely there yet, but they're getting darn close to understanding just about everything about you when you sit down.
Yeah. And I, you know, guys, I don't want to be some kind of kook, you know, putting tinfoil over my windows or something. I don't want to come across that way, but I do believe that many of these things that are being portrayed as conveniences do have, serious potential, for harm.
Yeah, sure. You mean for, invasion of privacy?
Invasion of privacy. Yeah, specifically. And the other thing is I think a lot of this stuff is inevitable, you know, mm-hmm. and I just hope on balance that it's good.
Well,
and I hope that I do hope that Faraday succeeds.
It depends on what you do with the data to make all that. I mean,
sure.
There can be the, you know, just kind of the, I guess the garden variety version of that where they use it to, you know, perfect the product,
uh-huh,
you know, to make
right.
it better for the next generation or, you know, the next generation of vehicle, I mean. But then again, there's also the downside of that where they'll use the data in a different way, for whatever reason. I mean, you can only speculate at this point, you know, what that might be, but.
Oh man.
I kind of am along the same lines as that. Yeah, sure. We wish them luck and everything, but, I just say remain skeptical. I'm going to stick with that line. Just remain skeptical. We've seen it before.
We've seen it before, and you have too, listeners. We hopefully will come back soon with an update. Well, what we can promise everybody, Scott, is we can promise that we'll keep an eye on it for you and let you know if it goes poof, as Vaporware is wont to do, or if it really starts to roll.
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like it's going to be one of these lingering stories. It's just going to kind of hang out there with a near production ready model for a long, long time. But again, we could talk about this all day. Just remain skeptical. I mean,
yes.
That's it.
And as you said, let us know what you think. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter, where we are CarStuffHSW. And Scott, I got to say, you've been knocking it out with the Facebook stuff.
Oh, thank you very much. I've been combing through all kinds of Tumblr pages and other Facebook pages and, you know, stuff that I find interesting and things that I see around town. I've been shooting with my own personal camera. I just try to put something interesting up there every day and maybe a little bit more than you get from, you know, some of the other sites. I try to, dig into it just a little bit and give you maybe, you know, a few lines of history or, you know, why it's important or why it's significant or something like that. So there's a little bit more to it than just a photo, a pretty photo.
Yeah. But also the photos are great pictures of unusual cars with stories. I really enjoyed the, and some of it is just stuff Scott sees, like our old segment, right? Like that wooden truck cap in the parking lot.
Oh yeah, you know what? And when I posted that one, I didn't say this, but it has a bent plywood edge on it on both sides, and it's very, very smooth, very fluid design, very cool, and it's unique. I'd never seen one like that.
Mm-hmm.
I would bet you anything that guy's got a really cool skate ramp at home that he did the same thing to, because I think you can bend plywood with heat and water.
Yes,
but you have to have the right forms and you have to have the right technique to
you
do that.
To know
the
what
right,
you're doing.
Yeah, you really have to know what you're doing, and I would bet anything that guy's a skater. I can from his. He's got a lot of stickers on the
decals,
back.
Yeah,
the decals on the back, and those are all about surfing and stuff like that. And I would guess that he's probably a skater as well. So that's my guess.
And he doesn't even know that he's internet famous now.
Nope, he's practically an internet star because he appeared on the car stuff. No, I'm just joking with you. No, but I do try to keep it interesting, and I try to give you just a little bit more information about stuff than what is initially available on like a Tumblr page or something like that.
And while you are online, if you would like to hear more about Elio Motors, Dale, or Tucker, and Tucker's one you're going to have to set down for, just a multi-part podcast, visit us at our website, carstuffshow.com, where you can listen to every single episode we have ever done. And oh, brother, there are a few.
Yeah, when you get to the back end of those, when we're high-speed stuff,
oof, cut us some slack.
Yeah, be kind. Be kind. That was the early days.
The learning curve.
It really was.
And if you have an idea for a topic that you would like to hear more about in the future, or you have some insider info on the mysterious future of Faraday Future, we'd love to hear from you. You can go ahead and send us an email directly. We are
carstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com.